Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us on the line is SAPRA CEO, Dr. Butumela Sameta Makuch. You know what? I practiced this all morning. I do apologize. I am the worst white male pronunciator ever. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? No worries.
You know, I genuinely. Please just say it again for me.
Makokotela.
Thank you. The worst part about it is our practice, because it is so offensive that we grew up in a country that we can't pronounce people's names properly. And, you know, I'm over 50, but I'm trying, and I can tell you, not succeeding. But one day I'll get there. One day I will improve on this. All right.
So I think you're trying. That's what matters.
Well, I don't know about that, but I appreciate the sentiment. Either way, SAPRA, of course, has been under tremendous pressure over ivermectin. We've been speaking quite a lot to Professor Barry Shubb. What he said to us is that each wave has its own miracle drug that everybody gets behind because we're so desperate for a little bit of hope and positivity. Second wave was very clearly the ivermectin focus. Can you give us the process or the thought process that SAPRA went through in order to determine how to apply the ivermectin medication to COVID?
Sure. So, I mean, ivermectin, as you know, correctly said, it's quite an old drug, right, that's been used in the veterinary sector. So we have it approved in the country for application in veterinary, for veterinary use under Act 36 of the Department of Agriculture. For human indications, it has not been registered in South Africa because the indications that it's used for, you know, aren't very common in the country. These are tropical diseases such as scabies.
Right, that we don't really have here.
We don't have much of it here. So around April, May of last year, they started to see the interest, you know, in this drug because the in vitro studies showed that it reduces, you know, viral replication. So there were all these in vitro studies that took place, and then following that, there were clinical trials that were done. However, these clinical trials were quite small. They didn't have well-defined endpoints. They were not sufficiently powered, et cetera. So they had a lot of gaps. And so when this data came out in December of these studies, it definitely did not enable us to make, you know, unequivocally a determination on whether ivermectin is effective for either prophylaxis or treatment of COVID-19. So we've considered all of that data, and based on that, we then came to the decision that we cannot authorize this drug for the treatment or for prophylaxis of COVID-19. And that's what led to the decision that we communicated earlier. It still remains to be the case. There is insufficient data. But now, because there's more data that we've been able to get, the indication is that from a state, there is what is called clinical equipoise, right? So you can't say that it causes harm, but also you can't say that it does present the clinical benefit. And so it's on that basis, when we looked at the scientific data, that we then came to, you know, a decision, but also looking at the fact that we were in a sector base. You know, there are limited options for the management of COVID-19. So we looked at the fact that there's clinical equipoise, and we said, to enable us to get the data that we need, we encourage clinical trials, and we're currently reviewing. There's about two applications that we've received for clinical trials. And so we're reviewing those, but also we said we will make it available only under a very strict access protocol, compassionate use access protocol, so that we can monitor which manufacturer is bringing it into the country, which healthcare facility is holding the stock, and which medical practitioner is utilizing it for which patient. Mm. So that's what we've put in place.
Yeah, I read an article that said that a lot of the ivermectin that's actually coming into South Africa, because there is an illegal import of the drug, but it actually contains other drugs as well. And a physician that that I often chat to about this said he was very, very concerned about that because those other drugs have other effects, and whether ivermectin does or doesn't is a separate issue. But the drugs that we're starting, that they are seeing in this country, aren't actually pure ivermectin, so it therefore becomes very dangerous.
No, that's indeed correct. So you're probably referring to a publication that came out sometime last week.
Mm.
And this is what we, as a regulator, constantly said, that if it's not an authorized product, you therefore don't have an authorized manufacturer, distributor, or wholesaler.
Right.
Therefore, whatever product that you come across, you cannot determine what the quality is. And that's the importance of having a regulator. That's the importance of utilizing products only when they're approved or authorized by the regulator. Because now what we communicated is there are those manufacturers that are bringing quality products, and we've now recently authorized them. And the public can then know, because we have this on our website, that if this is a product from such a company, I know it's a quality product because the regulator has done its checks and balances.
Mm.
With all the others, when this drug was being used outside of this program, it does pose the risk that you just articulated.
Right. What would have been the downside of SAHPRA saying, we know it's a relatively safe drug, we know it's been around for a long time, it doesn't do harm? What would have been the downside of SAHPRA saying to the doctors, we're not recommending it necessarily for treatment for COVID or prophylaxis because we don't have the data, but we're giving you the ability to choose it? Would that have been problematic in terms of SAHPRA's mandate?
No, it definitely would have been problematic, right? Because with every drug, when you then, as a regulator, have a position of enabling its use against a certain indication, you must have the data wherein you can say to the practitioner, you know, we know that it's safe. The doses that you would want to utilize them are doses that have been reported. And we know that at those doses, it's not going to cause any serious adverse side effects. And what formulation? So as we sit today, and this is the biggest concern in terms of the lack of data. There isn't sufficient data to inform what dose ranges need to be utilized for COVID management. If you read some articles, it says it's almost 10 times more than what is currently, being utilized for other indications. So we need to get to that level of detail. This is the issue of underdosing or overdosing.
Mm.
And that becomes important. That's why we couldn't make a decision as a regulator until we have all of this data. So even now, under this access program, the doctors are telling us what doses that they, are administering. They are reporting to us in terms of the patients that they're giving this drug to, and also reporting on other any side effects or not, so that at least we can collate this data.
Now I understand. I wasn't really sure why you would have had specific allowances for doctors, but it makes sense because once it's controlled, then you can follow the impact and the effects, both positive and negative.
Exactly.
That is interesting. What is the... It might be too early to tell, but what are you seeing? Are you seeing anything positive, negative, or irrelevant at this point?
So from the access program, it's very early to say. I mean, we, started implementing this program on the 28th of January. So, we're busy processing the applications, et cetera. So it's very early days in terms of getting any data from that access program. As I've indicated, there's two clinical trial applications that we're busy reviewing. And from the clinical studies that have been done in other countries, as much as they are, not properly designed, there is a positive trend. But again, we need to have that positive trend firmed up by larger numbers, by properly designed clinical studies.
Right. Is there a change does SEPRA change its strategy at times like this, for example, during a global pandemic, than it would if you were evaluating another drug for another type of a treatment?
What we do as a regulator, an area where we do not compromise on is when it comes to safety, quality, and efficiency. And what we've done, for example, under the COVID-19 management, intervention, whether it's vaccines, whether it's medicine, and this has been a position that other regulators in other countries have taken, was that, instead of waiting for the full set of information to be available, we will review data as it comes through. And based on how, those studies are designed, and if they're properly studied and designed studies, we will then be able to make a decision. So the flexibility is around at what point do we receive it. So typically you would have to wait to have all your information together. Now we're saying provide it to us as you have it. We will apply the scientific rigor, and we will then make a decision on that. And that's the approach that not only ourselves have taken, but other regulators have taken. The other strategy we've taken is to collaborate with other regulators as we review the data, because we are fully cognizant that not all countries have the capacity to conduct in-depth studies on every single product. So we are utilizing data from other countries a lot more. We're also sharing, best practices. We're also doing joint reviews in some instances.
Absolutely fascinating, and it's so great to get a different perspective, because there seems to be so much information and talk and anger and frustration, but hearing it directly from SEPRA is really, really very interesting, and I really do appreciate you taking the time to speak to us about it. That is the CEO of SEPRA, Dr. Boitumelo Semeta Makokotela, and I hope I did a little bit better there.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much.
You see, practice does make perfect. Have a great weekend. And thanks again for taking the time to speak to us.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.